excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Singing hymn 442 on the last.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, heavenly.
Appreciate Brother Bob leading the congregational singing this morning. Jacob is on vacation with his family, with mom and dad and brothers and all. They've gone to Disney World, so pray they have a safe trip and enjoy themselves, and he'll be back on Saturday. Next Sunday, he'll be speaking in the morning, and Brother Bob and I will both be gone. We are attending the retirement service for Pastor Walters at Southside. They contacted both of us and asked us to come. And so we'll let Jacob preach next Sunday and take care of things in the morning. Now, next Sunday night, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And I'll be back and speak for the service that night. And we'll observe the Lord's Supper together. So be prepared for that. Your giving and your faithfulness, we are going to be able to send the Dietrichs 3,065. And another 100 came in this morning that I know about, maybe more. And that's 1,000 from the church, and the rest of that is from your generosity, and we appreciate it very much. The post office raised $675 to send to the two children's homes. That'll be divided equally between them. The Lighthouse has about 8 children's homes in different countries. They've got hooked up with missionaries in those countries and established a children's home, and they help them all they can. And so anything we give to them gets divided up between those 8 homes. And then we also support Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, their orphanage. And half of that money will go there. We got a lot of folks sick. Jason's home sick. My son-in-law, Jason Wills, and Natalie are on a trip. The Hanses, Donna is sick, and they are quarantining because Tuesday their daughter Alyssa is to have be induced to give birth, and they hope to be there, of course, and be taking care of their other child or children. I'm not sure if this is number 2 or number 3.
Three.
Okay. So remember them in prayer, please. Haney's, all 6 are gone. Nanette is sick. She got sick in the middle of the week last week, and Saturday she was still running a low-grade temperature. It had come down to 99, and she said this is much worse sickness than when she had COVID. And she got tested and tested negative. Donna got tested and tested negative. Gigi Nickel is home with a sinus infection and cold. Miss Gwen is staying home with Mike this morning. Grace is Timmy here? Okay, he was going to try to come and bring one or two of the kids, but they got one or two at home sick that Grace was staying home with. Gwen also mentioned they're having car trouble with one of their vehicles. And Tim would normally have sat with Mike today and let Gwen come, but they didn't want to expose Mike to anything from the kids, so Gwen is staying home with him today. So we really appreciate Kayla stepping up and taking over doing the work for the choir today, and Nanette and Gwen both out, and Natalie. That's the Bowers. The Taylor, Cindy Taylor, is homesick. Jimmy and Amy and all the kids, Prendale, and what's your other boy's name?
Josh.
Escaped me for a moment. They've all been sick, and they're spreading it around in the house. You know, and Cindy's sick again. So pray for Cindy. And she has breathing trouble. So she doesn't need to get bad sick. And last time she got sick, the doctor gave her steroids for her breathing, shot her blood sugar up to about 300 or 400. So pray for her when she gets sick. I mentioned Gigi Nickel. Tony and Teresa Spencer is a family in their early 60s probably, and he's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And they are friends of the Maddox, customers of theirs. And they gave them the gospel, told them how they could be saved, gave them something to read, and showed them how they could look at live streaming of the services. And they don't know the Lord. So please do pray for these folks. Tony and Teresa Spencer. Eddie Burris is a pastor in Spartanburg area that was kind enough to go over and visit with Brenda's brother when he was in bad shape and led him to the Lord. And I guess he did his service too for a funeral, didn't he? And he is sick with COVID, and it has gone into pneumonia. Continue to pray for all of our folks with cancer. Debbie got a good test result last time that the cancer was sort of stabilized. The chemo was working. It had actually shrunk a little. And so remember her, please. Tommy Nance is battling it, and he's battling being discouraged, you know, with what he's going through, and he's alone a lot. So please lift him in your prayers. We love him. Miss Paula, we miss her, and she's going through chemo right now, and that's tough stuff, you know. I liken it to people drinking gasoline. You know, it's about that effective in all the side effects that it can cause, you know, with sickness and everything. But sometimes it's only hope. It has helped her beat it back twice. Diane Huller is here today. Amen. Diane, wave your hand in case there's anybody in our church that doesn't know you. I mention you often, and so just in case, it's great seeing you and your husband here together. And praise the Lord, you're feeling a little better. Irv Sherwood is Miss Betty Ann's dad, and he is down with COVID, and he's how old?
94
years old. Lives in Chicago, so please remember him in prayer and the whole family. And you got a long list. I think you got your prayer list in the bulletin. Please read through that sometime this week. I would ask you to take your bulletin home and put it somewhere. And when you're just sitting around bored and have nothing to do, take a look at your prayer list and call those names out before God. And as Christians, we're responsible to do that. Samuel said, God forbid that I would sin in not praying for you. And that's how we need to feel about our brothers and sisters in Christ and lift up these folks to the Lord. So I will ask Bob to lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to get ready to lead the choir in a song.
Our gracious Father, we thank you again for the opportunity that we have to come before you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this place this morning. We're grateful for the privilege of serving in a new year. And Lord, when we look back over what has been in 2021, in many ways it's been a challenge. And you know that. We hear this long list of requests, and we are reminded again that we're a needy people. And Father, we pray for those of our church family, those who are loved by our church family, that you would touch their bodies where that's necessary, that you would encourage them where that's necessary. We pray for those who have spiritual needs, those that don't know you. We pray that your spirit would work in their hearts. And Father, we look forward to the day when one by one we can begin to say, praise the Lord, that request was answered. Praise the Lord, as Diane's able to be here today.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, we've seen a small victory here and there. And we know that you'll do all good things for your glory, and we trust you for that. Now for this service, we pray your blessing on every aspect of it, on the songs that we sing, and most of all, on the preaching of the word. May our hearts be open and responsive to the promptings of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One, three, and four, no chorus after. Sounded like 50 people up there this morning. Great job, folks. Thank you so much.
Number 256. 256. Who knows what the new year is going to bring? Blessings, difficulties, challenges, confusion. It's all part of it, right? Whether it's good or bad or hard or easy, we know that the Lord is in control, right? So whether this year is peace like a river, whether this year is difficulty, I hope you can sing "It Is Well With My Soul." Let's stand together and sing 256.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot,
best verse of the song, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought." What happened to our sin? It was nailed to the cross and we bear it no more. Let's sing the third and then the last together.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is
Thank you. You may be seated.
Gary, I want to get some water, please. I think I got a bottle in here.
Before the preacher comes to preach, J.J. Mast, will be singing. No, he will not be. The preacher's going to come preach.
Okay. He probably didn't have his pianist here today, though. Follow through. He's here and sang in the choir, but that's probably a little more complicated song, and we sprung all this on Kayla when she first came in this morning. We were planning on Miss Gwen being our backup, and then Miss Gwen couldn't come. Okay, turn with me, Colossians chapter 1 in your Bibles. I have been preaching on the incarnation, why Jesus took on flesh. Jesus is eternally God. He's always been. He will always be. He was a spirit being as God the Father is spirit. Thank you. And he took on flesh for a lot of reasons. Theologically, there are at least seven that are pointed out that sort of cover generally all the other reasons why Christ took on flesh. Colossians 1, beginning with verse 16, speaking of Jesus. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It means first place, the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to be present, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You get time, go back and read through those verses today or this week, and dwell on those just a little bit. That you're going to be presented to God the Father, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Christ accomplished this because he took on flesh and died the sacrificial death of the cross. Remind you that we started in John chapter 1. We'll read that verse for you this morning again, John chapter 1. And we look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not, referring to the nation of Israel. Individual believers, like the disciples, believed on him as the Messiah, as the Lord. Peter made the bold statement, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But as a nation, they did not believe upon him. But verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Christ took on flesh that we might be the chosen of God, and that God would make salvation possible for us. We are redeemed. He purchased us back from sin by the blood of his cross. We are reconciled unto God. Because of sin, man was separated from God in the Garden of Eden. And men could not have visible personal fellowship with God like Adam and Eve did before they sinned. And Christ has reconciled us to God in the body of his flesh. He also paid the price. He is the propitiation for our sins, the point of mercy, the appeasement for everything wrong we've done is washed away because Christ shed his blood. He is the point of mercy between God and man. We are, by that blood, cleansed of all our sin. I remember an old stupid movie that came on years ago with Barney Fife in it. And it was a ghost and something, you know, about Barney. And they believed this house was haunted and the organ would just start playing in the middle of the night and all that. Some of you seen it, and I see you nodding your heads. And it had blood on the keys of the organ. And it had this little old lady, she was a little bit simple, you know, and she said, they wash these keys and they can't get that off. She said, they even use Bon Ami. And she must have said that four times in the movie, you know, they use Bon Ami. Well, that's what's the other stuff? Comet, you know, like Comet, you know, it's an abrasive. And she claimed they used that and couldn't even get the blood off the keys, you know, because the ghost put them there. Well, I'm going to tell you, your sin was so bad, Bon Ami wouldn't take it away, but the blood of Jesus Christ would take it away, and it did. We're joined through his death, burial, and resurrection unto him. When we got saved, it was just as if we were on the cross with Christ and died to our sins. And then we were buried with him in the tomb. And then we rose again from the dead with him. And in rising from the dead, we are to now walk in newness of life. We possess eternal life from the moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. That freed us from the law. It regenerated us to become sons of God simply by believing on his name. And it meant that God adopted us and placed us into the body of Christ. The word adopted means, translated, it means son placing. God hath not only born us into his family, he has placed us into the family as adult children. We don't have to work our way up to be able to pray or work our way up to be able to do something for God. God has given us in the body of Christ that full, mature, adult status as his children. And we're looking at this reasons why Jesus took on flesh. He took on flesh to reveal God to man. He took on flesh to reveal the one perfect man to God, who was the second Adam, who was totally obedient and did exactly what Adam was supposed to do as a man. Christ fulfilled. In Adam, all die because of sin. In Christ, all are made alive. Pardon me. Thirdly, he became the merciful high priest who could offer his blood on our behalf and who could intercede for us at the throne of God. And he has destroyed the work of the devil. He has conquered him. He has given him the death blow. He hasn't been cast into the lake of fire where he'll be tormented day and night forever and forever yet. But that day is coming, and Christ's death, burial, and resurrection accomplished what the devil was trying to stop and destroy. Christ fulfilled for you and for me. And now we're looking at what he has done for us in taking on flesh. We looked at a number of these events, and we're at number 10 today, that he has made us acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verse 20 through 22. By being acceptable to God, he will present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are saved, you have the Spirit of God living within you. Romans 8 makes it plain, if you do not have the Spirit of God, then you don't belong to God. But all who belong to God have the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean you're going to run the aisle or shout in the church or wave your hands or stand up and cheer or, or do some miraculous thing or anything of that nature. You still have a body of flesh that the Spirit of God lives within, and it's a constant struggle because the Holy Spirit will not willingly overpower you to keep you from sin. He will convict you if you do wrong so you confess it to God and get forgiveness. And He will lead you and guide you in the understanding of the Scripture. And He's that still, small voice that will urge you. Way back, some people in television had a little bit of sense spiritually. They used to draw these cartoons about the angel sitting on one shoulder and the devil sitting on the other one, trying to get somebody to do wrong. And that is exactly what the Scripture teaches, the battle we are in with the flesh and the devil. We get tempted, we get thoughts about wrong, we have desires about wrong. But if we'll listen to the Spirit of God, He'll lead us to the way of escape in our temptation. Thanks be unto God. Amen. Now, how is it that we as sinful people can be made acceptable unto God? It's based upon simply faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So through that, we have access unto God, Romans 5 and verse number 2. So declared righteous by God grants us access. This is our portion in Christ by believing on Him. This is our position in Christ as a child of God who simply has come by faith, not by some earning through great sacrifice. It is imparted unto us eternal life. And God will not impart unto us the sins that we're guilty of when we confess them to Him and He cleanses us from that. Turn in your Bibles, if you'd like, in John chapter 20 and verse 31. Remember, we're talking about the reasons Christ took on flesh, the purpose, and what is accomplished through it. In John 20 and verse 31, He's talking about writing the book of John the beloved disciple. Verse 31 of chapter 20 says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. You note there's no additional things that one must do in order to be saved. This is like Acts 16:31. Where the Philippian jailer came and fell down before the Apostle Paul and Silas, who'd been in prison all night. They'd been beaten, but instead of moaning and groaning and appealing for a court hearing, they sang praise to God, and God sent an earthquake and broke the jail down. And the jailer came in and drew his sword, seeing that the jail was broken down in the way it was. He thought all the prisoners had escaped. And he was going to kill himself because he knew he would suffer for all those prisoners escaping. And Paul and Silas called out from the dark, do thyself no harm, we are still here. And he fell down trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? I've had the joy and the privilege share that verse with a number of people throughout my 42 years as a pastor. People who have come to me in the same way that jailer came, under conviction, trembling. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In his case, they said, and thy house, because they knew that God was sending them through that man back to his home with him. And he would cleanse them of their wounds, and he would feed them, and they would share the gospel with his whole household, and they would be saved and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. An amazing thing that could take place in that situation. This is our portion. This is our position. This is what is imparted unto us, eternal life through his name. The righteousness of God is imputed unto you and to me. We're not worthy of that, but we stand in the righteousness of Christ because He took our sin upon Himself when He died on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 29, or excuse me, verse 21. They're not 29 verses there. 21 is the last verse. Chapter 5, verse 21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin,
that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Joey, I say I never put this microphone on. You want me to put it on? Will it help the nursery or anything? Apologize. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. We are positionally sanctified by our union to Christ, set apart unto God, cleansed, and made holy. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 and 31, I remind you, Corinth was not the most impressive church to be an example. They were believers who had a lot of sins. And 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Can you glory in the Lord, my friend, because of what all God has done for you through Christ? Even the church of Corinth were called the saints of God. And that means they are sanctified and made holy in the eyes of the Lord. So we should glory that God hath made us such. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, he talks about the unrighteous that will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." What a wonderful position we have to be saved and be declared the children of God and have access to God in prayer, and to have a future that we're looking forward to of all that's been done for us because of Christ. We're washed, sanctified, justified. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Now in these verses that we've looked at, there's several of them that points out, the theologians point out that it's used, God hath made us. Now that "made" is very important. It's a good word. And it reminds us that everything we have in God is not the work of man, it's the work of God. It is God who has made us acceptable. It is God who has made us what we have in him, accepted in the beloved. We are made, in Colossians 1:12, meet. What does that word mean? M-E-E-T, meet. We're made meet. It means we're made qualified or enabled to do something. And the only way we're made meet is through the sacrifice of Christ and what he has done for us. We who may be the least of the mature believers or knowledgeable of the believers are made qualified in Christ. Number 11, we are justified, therefore declared righteous before God. God's declaration of righteousness of the believer is on the basis of faith, that you believed, that you received Christ. When we talk about belief, we're talking about to be convinced. We must be convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died and rose again from the dead. And through that simple act of faith, all these things are ours because of Jesus Christ. We are made nigh in Ephesians 2 and verse 13, if you'd like to look there. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. Made nigh is closer than close. Chapter 2 verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." There was a time before we got saved, some of us were very, very far from the kingdom of God. We were walking in sin. We were living in the flesh. We were living by our desires, and we were
away from God, and there was we were like the expression of away from the temple. We were away. We were not close. We had no semblance. But when we got saved, we are made nigh. The only thing separating us from God today is this sinful flesh we still live in. One day we're going to shed this thing like a snake sheds his skin, and we're going to be reborn in heaven with a new body and be like Him and be with Him forevermore. Praise God for what He's done. He has made us nigh through His blood. To this declaration, nothing can be added to it in earth or in heaven. It reveals not only a work of God on behalf of the believer, but it is the fact that we are brought into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that relationship is complete and final except for the redemption of the body when we get the new body to be with the Lord. We're like the young boy that was working hard in the fields with the sheep, and his father called him home. He came to approach his father, and he knew his father would want him to come close and give him a kiss and let the father put his arms around him. But the son knew what he smelled like from sweat and the sheep. And so the first thing he did when he approached home was he bathed himself and changed his garment and went to the father. And the father could love on him and show his affection for him because he approached him cleansed of his iniquities. And that's how we need to approach God. God has saved us and called us, and we need to approach Him with clean hands and a pure heart because He detests sin. It's like the prodigal. I heard an old preacher many years ago. He said when the prodigal came home, the father was standing there waiting for him and hugged him and gave him a new robe and a ring on his finger and killed a fatted calf. And he said, how do you think he knew the boy was coming? He said, you think you look way down the road and see him? He said, he'd been keeping hogs. He said, he smelled him before he ever saw him. If you've ever been around hogs, you know how bad they smell. You can understand what the preacher was illustrating that day. Sin is detestable to God. It is a stench in the nostrils of the Lord. As believers, we need to regularly confess our sin and be cleansed by God's mercy that we may approach Him in our prayers. We are delivered from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Colossians 1 and verse 13 and verse 11 reveals now, presently, we are members of the body of Christ, which is the church and the kingdom of light that belongs unto God. We are spiritually a living house, a house that is alive, a spiritual house for God that is being built up, being changed by the circumstances Bob talked about this morning that we go through in life, that we might become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that our house might reveal Him, that we might be like Him in how we believe and what we do and our attitude towards sin and our attitude toward the lost with compassion toward them. The unsaved are built on sand. The believers are built on the foundation of Christ, the solid rock. And the storms of life will come against both. I pity unbelievers who face all the circumstances of life that people go through and they don't know the Lord for His comfort. They may have terminal cancer. They may have problems from a brain injury. They may have severe situations in their home with divorce and sin that has caused a separation in the marriage. If they don't know the Lord is their Savior, they're facing all that without His help. It's hard, my friends. Life is hard. But thank God you have Christ as your Savior. And He lives for you and lives with you. And you can pray and ask for His help. You're built on the right foundation. So let us build that life with gold, silver, and precious stones and not with wood, hay, and stubble.
which will pass away when they're tested by fire. Christ's incarnation made possible our union to Christ and our union with God the Father, and therefore with all true believers. In John 17, Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer for his disciples and for those who would believe through their word and their testimony. In John 17, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. We are kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last day. Heavenly citizens, Philippians 3:20 refers to our conversation is in heaven. And that word conversation comes from a word that can be translated politics. It refers to citizenship. We are citizens of heaven. You can be a citizen of the United States of America, but that's a temporary thing, my friend. If you know the Lord is your Savior, you got a home in heaven where you're going to live forever and forever. And we are declared citizens of heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. Our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are a part of the household of faith, the church of the living God. In 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. My friend, God knows you. I got a chance, most famous person I've ever met in my life was Ronald Reagan. When he was running for office, I had listened to him when he was governor in California. He had a radio program. I listened to him a lot at night late, and he sounded like an independent Baptist preacher on the radio. His small government desire and family atmosphere and all that sort of thing, you know. And I got word from the Republican Party. They called me up and said, hey, would you like to meet Ronald Reagan? I said, man, would I love to. They said, well, this is not open to the public. You can't tell anybody about it. He's going to be at a particular school in Rock Hill on this day because a kid in that school wrote him a letter and said, if you ever come through Rock Hill, would you come to my school? I'd like to meet you, and I'd like you to meet my class. And so when he came through Rock Hill on his campaign, he went to that school, and I was invited to go. There was just a small group of people, maybe 25, not counting all his entourage of security and all that sort of thing. But we were invited to go there, and he spoke to the kids, and when it was over, he came over to the bleachers and shook hands with us and spoke to us, and he asked me, he said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. He said, we need more like you. He was the most famous person I've ever met. And he took time to act like he wanted to know me. He shook my hand and he said that. Others were waiting to talk to him and say important things to him, but he took time to say that to me. I grew up a poor kid. I didn't know a lot of wealthy people. I didn't know any famous people. There's so many things in life that were not available to me because I was not a family of wealth. But my friend, today you're saved. You know Christ is your Savior. You're a part of the family of God. And Christ knows you. Amen. Because you believed on him. You are known to God. You are his child and his family. If you got a need, you go to your father and you pray and ask for his help, because you are granted access through justification unto the throne of God. This access grants us fellowship with God and all believers on the basis of faith. I won't turn there for the time, but in 1 John chapter 1, you all know that passage in verse 1 through 7, how that we're in fellowship with the Father and we're to walk in the light as he is in the light, because there is no darkness in him. And if we get in darkness of sin, we can break our fellowship with God. God's not going to hold our hand and let us lean our head upon his breast unless we're coming and confessing our sin and seeking his cleansing and forgiveness. But he does not abandon us as if we're not a believer. No, it simply has the need for our fellowship to be restored by cleansing, which he's made available unto us. You can travel the world, my friend, and you can meet people from every stripe, every tribe, every nation, every language. And suppose you see someone in a restaurant in another country and they bow their head and pray before they eat their meal. And so as you're doing things, they happen to have the opportunity to speak to them. And you say, I saw you were praying. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And they'd say, yes, we are. And we were saved many years ago, and we love the Lord, and we believe the Bible, and we try to serve God in our country here, even though so many don't know the Lord. You'll find that you have so much in common with them. Though they're from a different race and from a different country, and you have much that is not in common in the world, but in Jesus Christ, they're your brother and sister in Christ. And it won't take but a moment for you to figure that out and have a feeling of unity because of their belief and your belief. By our faith in Christ, and because Christ took on flesh, we become the objects of his love and care. I think one of the greatest examples of being godly is to be a parent and a grandparent. I think you understand the love and the sacrificial love and the unconditional love for your children and grandchildren that God has for us. God has unconditional love for you. He cares for you. He makes miraculous things happen for your benefit, so that you are provided for and you are protected and you are cared for. And he longs for the day when he will receive us unto himself and we'll be together as a family with the Lord, because Christ is preparing a place for us and he will come and take us to that place. It is a mystery that has been revealed, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We love him because he first loved us. And we're to love one another. And we share together in the expectation of Christ coming again in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. We have been promised an inheritance that is incorruptible, reserved in heaven for us. Everything I own in life rusts, busts, and collects dust. Has to be worked on, has to be repaired, has to be dealt with. But I'm telling you something, friend, we got a place in heaven that's been made by God and not by man. And it won't wear out and it won't grow old and it won't fade away. You who serve him have been born of the Spirit of God into the family of God. You are a part of the body of Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. You are placed into the family. You have been anointed by the Spirit of God, the earnest of your salvation, meaning the down payment that has been given unto you to assure you that you will belong to him. And you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. You're also sealed by the Spirit of God. That gives you a divine protection until the day of redemption when we're called to heaven. And you can be filled with the Spirit, which is God's desire for you. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Those words simply mean be controlled by the Spirit of God. How can you be controlled by the Spirit of God? You have to yield yourself to Him. Seek the cleansing. Yield your eyes and your ears and your steps unto God. And the Spirit will lead you and guide you and direct you and comfort you as you have need. All this was done because Christ took on flesh. And Christ took on flesh so that all this and more could be done for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your care. I thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here today. We do pray for the many that are sick and the many that are traveling on vacation for the new year. And we ask that you'll help them and protect them and bring them back home safe and raise up those that are sick and in need today. And thank you and bless these folks that are here today for their faithfulness. In the middle of rain and the call for storm and all this sort of thing, yet they got out of their house this morning and came on to the house of God to worship you and serve you and be found faithful. Thank you for that. Bless them for it. And now in this invitational time, we pause for a moment. Those listening at home, if there's someone that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, help them, Lord, to read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And do what it says. Believe with all your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can be saved right there in your home. If you do get saved, call us. Let us know here at the church. We'll be glad to help you with some discipleship material and assurance material that you'll need. And Lord, bless your people here. If there's someone in our midst that doesn't know the Lord, burden their heart to come and be saved, we pray. Start the new year outright. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bob's going to lead us in a verse. If you need to do something,